The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
I want to thank you all for coming, and we hope that you will find this evening, or you are finding it, to be very enjoyable. Both physically enjoyable and spiritually. I want to give a special thanks to Rabbi Aloy. When I told him about the evening we were planning, he said that on Tuesday evening he has a shiur. So when I said that it looks like the rabbi won't be able to join us, he said, no, I'll come later. And he came all the way out here to the Jewish Guild to be with us. When I asked him if we should put supper away for him, he commented, he said, Daigenisch, du kennst den Caterer. And he came because he wanted to support the honors that were given to the honorees this evening. Rabbi Loy, for over 50 years now in South Africa, has been doing everything possible to support the work of Torah and Yiddishkeit, and therefore I want to thank him very much for coming, and on behalf of everyone here, we all hope that for another 50 years he will also be giving strength to South African Jewish community. The theme this evening is service to Torah. Our honorees, also the 80th anniversary of that great Gaon, Reb Lezer Gordon, the Rav of Telz, and the founder of its yeshiva. Reb Lezer died in 1910. 1990 is his 80th Yortzeit. This is a subject which is close to the hearts of all Jewry. If we would want to describe him in one phrase, we would say that he was an enormous giant in a generation of enormous giants. It's a subject which is very close to those here of South Africa, coming from strong literature tradition. There are many people here who come from the city of Telz. Reb Lezer's family, members of it, eventually came and settled in South Africa. And this evening there will be many, many names of people and of shtetlach, of cities, dorfs, which you people here will be even more familiar with than I am, because you've heard your parents and your grandparents talk so fondly of them. It's also a subject which is very close to my heart, because I had the great schus to study in the Telz Yeshiva in America, which is the yeshiva which Reb Lezer had founded many years before and is carried on by his descendants. And I had the schus to actually see this approach to Torah, which was the heart of the Litvish approach to Torah, given over through his descendants as they received from their predecessors. And we must see what we can learn from all of this, because today we are living in an enormously confused world, not only in secular matters but in religious matters also. And the Lithuania tradition, where most of you people come from, presented the Merkas, it presented the heart of Torah at that time and gave tremendous emphasis, became a tremendous catalyst for the Torah which was built up again after the Second World War in America, in Eretz Yisrael, and wherever Torah might be found. The facts and the stories which I will mention this evening, I want to tell you, are not just stories. You know, when you read a biography, you never know if it's fact or if it's fiction or if it's just bobamizing. what I am going to quote from this evening are stories that I heard from the great Rabbi Yemeir Bloch, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who was the founder of the American Tells, or heard in his name. Now, his mother was the daughter of Blazer Gordon, and his father, Rabbi Yosef Leib, was the son-in-law. Or from his colleague, Ramotel Katz, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, another of my Rabbeim, who his wife was the granddaughter of Reb Blazer, and his father-in-law was the son-in-law of Reb Blazer. Or from other Rabbeim of mine, Reb Borach Sorotskin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and Libodel Lechaim, Reb Blazer Sorotskin. These were two brothers who taught with Rosh Yeshivas and Tells, and their mother was the daughter of Reb Blazer. And their father was the very well-known Reb Zalman Sorotskin, the Lutzkerov, who was the son-in-law of Reb Blazer. So the information is coming from good sources. Reb Blazer was born in the year 1841, and he died in 1910. See, he lived 69 years. And his life was in that part of history which was controlled by the Russian Tsars. He died before the Russian Revolution and before the Second World War. And times were not easy for Jewry in those areas of Lithuania and Russia. The Tsars were not the best friends of the Jews. There were pogroms and there was anti-Semitism, and there were winds of change sweeping through Europe, which caused change in Lithuania also. In particular, there was the movement of the Maskilim, the Enlightenment, which brought attack on many of the long traditions, long lines of traditions in the Chadorim, in the educational systems of the Jews, in the Rabbonis and so forth. So this gives you a little background in the era that he lived. He was born in a village, and the village was called Chirnan, and it was near the town of Savir, which was in the general district of Vilna. His father, who was Rav Abram Shmuel, was a great Talmud Chochem, and he was from the close Talmidim of Reb Chaim Volozhiner in the Volozhin Yeshiva. Reb Chaim Volozhin was the famous disciple of the Vilna Gaon. But being that he didn't want to go into Rabbonis, he became a merchant. And in particular, he was a whiskey and brandy maker. And being that this type of work required him to be up late each night watching the process of the whiskey and the brandy, so it was said on him that he used to sit and learn through Shas and Peshkim. Now, to give you an idea of who he was, the father of Blazer, the story is told and written that when he would come from time to time to Volozhin Yeshiva to visit Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Reb Chaim would stand up for him. Now, to appreciate this, you have to know who Reb Chaim was, the greatest disciple of the Vilna Gaon, and he would stand up for him. And with the Talmidim of the Yeshiva would look wondrously. So Reb Chaim would say, he said, this villager that's wearing a simple villager's sheepskin coat happens to be one of the Gedele Hador, one of the greatest Talmidei Chachomim in our generation. Now, from this little background, let's see what we can learn. Firstly, we see that the traditions of the Litvishi Yeshivas in general, and Tells in particular, go back to Reb Chaim Volozhiner. Reb Blazer's father was a great Talmud of his. And Reb Chaim, what he did was the Gaon, the Vilna Gaon. So we must have great respect for the approaches of the old Litvishi Yeshivas, their traditions, their outlooks, their ways, and their Talmidim. Secondly, you know, we're accustomed to thinking that Torah must grow in the big cities. little cities, it can't grow. You must have a big city. Here we're talking about someone that was born not even in a city, but not even in a town, but in a village near a town. And in that village was this father who was held as one of the greatest of the generation. The fact is, Telz itself had 5,000 Jewish people, which is probably similar to cities like Durban or Pretoria. And I'm sure you all heard from your fathers and your grandfathers that in Litha and in Russia and those areas, there were good Jews and learned Jews, not only in the big cities, but in every village, in every town, in every dorf. Another thing that we can learn from here is that the greatness of Lit at that time, that it produced so many great scholars, where it even became an export commodity. At that time and later, Lit was to produce for the entire world, that it wasn't necessary for every individual to become a Rov, or to become a Rosh Hashiva, or to go in to the professional services. There were others that could do it. And therefore, it was customary that many graduates of yeshivas would go into private enterprise. Not only would they do this, but they wanted to do that. It was their custom not to go after the public positions. Only if they had to, if there was no one else that could do the job as well as they could, then they would. But they wanted to live private lives, and they were bereach min hakoved. They didn't want that honor. Yet, they were enormous scholars. I was once in Seattle, Washington, and there was a Litvish Jew that had come over, and he told me the story that he studied in a cheder. And his Malamed was a very respected Jew. One day, the great Reb Shimon Shkop visited the town, and he told his father, he said, "You know, your son's Malamed as a Boki B'Shas. He knows all of the Shas." And this was common. Another thing that we can learn from here, that it was possible for someone to be very great in Torah, and very few people knew of this. Those people, they weren't interested in promoting themselves or advertising themselves. They rather did not want people to know the extent of their Torah knowledge. Fact is, the Gemara we just learned in the Yeshiva says that one of the three things that a Talmud Chacham has a right to lie about is that if someone asks him, "Have you learned this? How many Mesechtas have you learned?" he can tell them no, even though he has learned it. Here we have a situation where an individual who owns a whiskey business, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner can say he is one of the greatest of the generation in learning, and he comes from a little village, and people are not aware of it. This is something that would be impossible in our time. This is not the only case. We have even greater cases. The Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livrocha, who later on was called the Reish B'nei Kol HaGeila, he was called the leading Torah authority of all of the Jews in the world. There were many, many years that no one knew who he was. It's not that he was a hermit or a recluse, Chalila. He belonged to a shul, he lived in a town, he took part in the activities, but no one knew to the extent who he was. The fact is, when he used to go to sell his sforim, they never suspected he wrote it. He used to say that he's selling these sforim for the writer. He shunned rabbinical garb. All his life he used to wear a little cap. He would never wear a rabbinical hat. He would say, "Who am I? I'm not a Rov." Yet, he was one of the leading Jews in history. There's another example. The Chazon Ish, Zecher Tzadik Livrocha. The Chazon Ish lived in the Vilna area. Later he was to become the leading Jew, the leading Torah scholar of the world. And when he was living in the Vilna area, people didn't know who he was. They knew him, but they didn't know to the extent of his greatness. Rav Chaim Eizer knew, because he used to come to him to ask his questions, and he promoted his name. So they were speaking about Jews that were so great from one aspect, and that from the other aspect they shunned honor and they shunned publicity. They wanted to live quiet lives where they could study Torah and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a legend in the town which Reb Lazer was born in, that there was no mile in that town, so they had to take the baby to the next city where there was a mile. And in those days they traveled by sleigh. And that evening, as they were transporting the baby, evidently it hit a bump or something, and later on they realized that the baby wasn't in the sleigh anymore. He fell off. And they became terrified. So they turned around and went to search for him. And they found the baby bundled up, laying on the roadside. And watching over him was a wolf. And the wolf was standing there guarding him. This is the legend that's brought, that was always told over in this city. When he was a young boy, he studied by his father. Then he studied in the Cheder. And then he was sent to a Talmud Torah in Smargun. Now, a Talmud Torah in Litta was for young boys, bar mitzvah and older. There they studied Gemara, Rashi, and Tosfos, but they were of enormous level, which most likely could equal the level of Yeshiva Gedolos today. From there, he went to a yeshiva. And the yeshiva was in Zeritzia, which was near Vilna. In the yeshiva, they saw his capabilities. They saw that he was a young man with a genius mind. He was strong, he was healthy, he had enormous drive and energy, he was ambitious and full of spirit. And his rabbeim decided that he needed a greater yeshiva. So he sent him to one of the greatest yeshivas at that time, and this was in Kovna, the yeshiva of the great Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. This yeshiva was housed in the shul of Rav Zvi Neuhauser. In those days it was common that yeshivas were housed in shuls, and the support came from the balabatim of the shul. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter also was from the disciples of the disciples of the Vilna Gaon. Rabbi Yisrael saw in Reb Lazer more than just a genius. He saw in him a great Marbitz Torah, that he had the capabilities of becoming a great teacher of Torah, someone that would be capable of spreading Torah far and wide. And Rabbi Yisrael was in the forefront of the fight to protect the Torah sanctity from inroads of various modern movements that were crossing through Europe. And he saw also under the blazer the power and the spirit where he would be a fighter for Klal Yisrael, and he would be someone who would stand up on their behalf. So he started to train him. At the early age of 20, he gave him a shir to say in his yeshiva. To give you an idea of the level of that yeshiva, some of the chabura, some of the colleagues, the study mates that the Reb Lazer found in that yeshiva was the great Reb Itzel Petterberger, Reb Itzel Blazer, who was to become the Rav of Petersburg, of Leningrad. Reb Yeruchim Perelman, who was to become the Godel Miminsk. Reb Yankel Lechorev, who was to become the Magid of Vilna. Reb Naftali Amsterdam, and the great Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv, who was to found his famous Talmud Torah in Kelm. And they all became very good friends, Reb Lazer and all of these people. And he continued to grow in Torah. He got married, but he stayed in the city, and he continued to learn in the yeshiva. His father-in-law supported him, so he could continue to learn. In 1874, when he was 33 years old, he was appointed as a dayan in the city of Kovno to take over his father-in-law's position. And this appointment was made by the great Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector, who was the Rav of Kovno at that time and was the accepted authority in halacha throughout the entire world. He stayed there a short time until he received an invitation to come to become the Rav of the city of Kelm, which he took up that invitation because Kelm was a city which was known for its great sages and its great Torah. And there he was reunited with his close friend, Reb Simcha Zissel. It's brought that they used to get together every morning, every Shabbos morning after davening, and spend hours together discussing Torah. And Reb Simcha Zissel wrote on the blazer, he wrote that Ke'echod harishenim shezocha lohokim ulechaber b'yishivosei horoma limu teire v'ahira shechosa bedorazeh. He was like one of the early giants that was able to combine in his yeshiva both greatness in Torah and greatness in the fear of heaven. An interesting story that took place in Kelm is the Russian army was something to be terrified from. They used to take Jewish children, 10 years old, 12 years old, and they would conscript them in the army for 25 years. It wasn't a 6-month call-up or a year call-up, 25 years, and they used to send them out to the barren frontiers. This actually caused a great amount of immigration to the West. Usually, Yeshiva Bochrim could manage to get out, but this time, because of anti-Semitism, they took two of the Talmidim of Reb Lezer, and Reb Lezer was sick over it. He was like a father to his students. He had developed the yeshiva in Kelm. So he spoke with authorities, and they agreed that if he would put up a great sum of money, they would leave them out. I don't know if this was above board or below board, but he needed a great sum of money. He was successful in obtaining a loan from an individual, but they wanted security. He had no security, so he gave them the silver of the Sifrei Torah. He took the silver crowns and the mantle and the breastplates, and he gave this up for security. When the Gaboim of the Shul found this out, they weren't too happy about it. So they came to the blazer and they said, "What are you doing?" He said, "The most beautiful ateris, the most beautiful crown for a Sefer Torah, are Yeshiva Bochrim studying Sifrei Torah." He says, "I'm giving this crown, but I'm bringing you greater crowns." Then, from Kelm, he went to Slobodka. He was appointed to be the Rav of Slobodka. Slobodka was a suburb of Kovno. When he came to Slobodka, Slobodka had a great yeshiva. They invited him to say a shir in the yeshiva and call Gedele Kovno. All of the greats of Kovno came to hear the shir. The story goes that he said a shir for 6 hours. He had to interrupt a few times in order to change his kapota because it was so full of sweat. He put his entire physical and spiritual body into the shir. And they still speak of that shir. After a short time, the city of Telz invited him. This was in 1885. And evidently, he saw the possibility of building a great yeshiva there, so he accepted the rabbonis. In that city, this is very interesting, in that city there were three young men of stature who had married daughters of the city, and they were living in the city, and they were learning. Their father-in-laws were supporting them. And they had started groups of young Talmidim, young disciples. And they felt that they needed a powerhouse, who would develop it into a yeshiva. And they were instrumental in bringing this invitation to the blazer. Who were these three young men? One was the great Gaon Remea Atlas, who afterwards became the Rav of Shavuot. He was the father-in-law of Rav Chaim Eiser, and later also the father-in-law of Rav Chanan Wasserman. He has links here with South Africa because there was a great Rabbi Morgenstern in Cape Town who was a member of the Beis Din, who was married, I believe, to a granddaughter of his. And the Tates family, Mrs. Tates, is a descendant of that family. Then there was Reb Zvi Oppenheim, who was to become the Rav of Kelm. And then there was Reb Shlomo Zalman Abel, who was a young genius, but tragically died a young man. What do we learn from here? You see what a little seed can do. One of the greatest yeshivas of Lithuania started because three young men had an idea. They had an idea that they saw a development, a possible development, and they felt that the Blazer would be the one who could do it. He came to Telge, and he started to develop this yeshiva. And what he did, he gave his life for. His objectives were greatness in Torah. This he would not compromise. And he went to all ends to bring the greatest teachers of Torah to his yeshiva Telge. He brought Yosef Leib was a Talmud of his, was a disciple of his in Kelm. He brought him to the yeshiva, and he was to become his son-in-law, and he was to become his successor, and his children and grandchildren successors later. He brought the famous Reb Chaim Rabinovitz, who became known as Reb Chaim Telzer, who said Shurim in Lithuania for almost 50 years. He brought to Telge the great Reb Shimon Shkop. Secondly, his objective was that a yeshiva bocher must not only be great in Torah, but he also must be great in qualities of character. He was very insistent that every student of the yeshiva must be a kiddush shem shemayim, must be a sanctification for the name of heaven, that when people see him, they say, I want my son also to study Torah. His dress must be perfect. His walk must be perfect. The way he deals with people must be perfect. With manners. And this is echoed through the halls of the Telge Yeshiva. When I was there, Darf sein a greiser Lamdin und Darf sein a Mensch. This came from a blazer which really came before from Reb Chaim Beloishner. A third objective was his beauty in Torah. The beauty that he would put into a shir, or into Torah, that not only was it the study of Torah, but it was the beautiful enjoyment, the simchas haTorah, the enjoyment of the study of Torah. They write on there, on him, the Mishle Ro. Someone who never saw the simcha of Torah that was by the blazer, never experienced that such a simcha. They tell the story that one time he was passing a Beis HaMedrash, a shul, and he heard a discussion of Torah going on. And he heard what they were saying. He had something to add to that discussion, so he rushed into the shul, but the door was locked. And he knocked on the door, they didn't hear. So he went around the side and he went through the window in order to join the discussion. Another story said on him is that when he would write his tshuvas, his responsa, he would be so engrossed in it that many times they saw that he had come to the end of the paper and he was writing the tshuva on the tablecloth of the table. There were times that in the middle of davening he would get up to answer a kasha that a Talmud had asked him. And I can tell you that I've come into contact with many, many people, and many people who study Torah, and many great Lomdim. But I have never found an equal to speaking in learning with an old Litvisher when it comes to the enjoyment of Torah. With others, you can talk Torah. But the enjoyment of Torah, the simcha they had from it. It never ended. You just had to stop. This was their life. And this came from these giants. There's the story that Reb Chaim Brisko, the great Reb Chaim of Brisk, Soloveitchik, he was marrying off a child, and the blazer was in the vicinity, so he came to the chasna. And all of the great giants were there that could come. Came a question, who should they give the honor of Sidur Kedushin, the honor of marrying this couple, who should that go to? And Reb Chaim looked to one and a second and a third, and one was greater than the next. And then he looked to see who were the greatest of those that were spreading Torah, and one was greater than the next. Finally he pointed to Reb Lazer. And they asked, why Reb Lazer? He says, because he excels in the love of Torah like no one else. He had a desire of leharbais talmidim. He saw that the greatest guarantee of Klal Yisrael in its purity of tradition in Torah would be the disciples of Torah. And that would hold the tradition of Yisrael through all of the Torahs. And he had this unending desire to spread Torah, more Torah, and more Torah, until the yeshiva became world famous, and it attracted great students, and the numbers reached to 400 students. In addition to this, he established something also unique. He held the Rosh Yeshiva. He's not only responsible for the spiritual development of the student, but also he must be like a father to the student. He took upon his shoulders to see that they had accommodation, that they had what to eat, that they were cared for, and when things were difficult, then he held this was his responsibility. He would go and raise funds. If he couldn't raise funds, he would borrow funds. He would borrow funds on his own name. And he'd say, I would be the guarantor. And these, all of this that I'm mentioning, stayed in the family. It stayed in the tradition. This is what I all saw. This is what I saw in the Telz Yeshiva. And everything that he did, he was willing to give his life for. So precious was the Telz Yeshiva to him that it became famous, and he was offered positions, not in little cities, and not necessarily in the poor Litvishi area, but offers of the greatest positions in Europe came to him. And he dismissed it immediately. The fact is, it states he never would show it to his family because their life was not easy. And he didn't want to be tempted. He dismissed it immediately. They say on him there was only one position that he was tempted to. And that was in his late years, in 1907, Reb Itzel Petterberger, his old colleague from Kogne, from Yisrael Salanter's Beis HaMedrash, wrote to him and offering him the position to become the Rav of Yerushalayim. This he was very perturbed with. At one end, he can't leave the Telz Yeshiva. At the other end, though, in those days, Yerushalayim, there was a small community. It needed Torah, and he could bring the Litvish tradition there. And this was a decision which he grappled with back and forth, and he could not solve. Finally, the doctor solved it for him. And the doctors forbade him to go. But from here we see the great responsibility of the Gedali Yisrael, of those that led Yisrael. In 1908, a fire broke out in the city. There were several fires. Some historians attribute it to pogroms. It burnt down a great many houses in the city, and it burnt down the yeshiva. Reb Lazer, who was both the Rav of the city and the Rosh Yeshiva, he took it on his shoulders to try to rebuild the city. He went and raised money and borrowed huge sums of money, again on his name, in order that accommodations for the people could be rebuilt and the yeshiva. And this took away most of his energies. He wasn't able to raise the money to pay these debts, and the debts were coming due. And he decided that a representation must go to London. He asked others to go. Others didn't want to. So he said he will go. So in 1910, at the age of 69, by that time his health was already failing him, he set out for the long journey to London. One of his plans was to speak to Baron Rothschild. Baron Rothschild had become a supporter of the yeshiva in the days when they had built their first building. When he came to London, and it was winter time, it was Adar, the weather was not well, from the journey and all of the tzoras, there he died. The people of London, when the news spread around, as this Rabbi Gordon had died, and then they started to realize who he was, because London was not Lithuania, and they started to see that all of the Litvish greats that were anywhere near England immediately came to London. And it was the biggest Leviah, they say, that London ever had. They felt, why is it that this great giant should die in our city? We must do something. So they raised money, and together with Baron Rothschild, and they sent all the money that was needed for the new building of the yeshiva and to pay off the debts. And there he fulfilled what our Chazal tell us, tzadikim misoson is nikruim chayim, that even when the righteous die, they are still alive. But the Blazer actually, virtually gave his life for the yeshiva. This is a brief profile of this person. What was the heritage that he left us? First of all, he left the heritage of Torah, of his wonderful Torah, his approach to Torah, Derech Eretz, qualities of character. He left the Yeshiva's Tells, which today is over 100 years, still one of the major yeshivas in the world. He left the quality of love for Torah and the spreading of Torah. Perhaps one of the greatest heritages that he left was his students. It is unbelievable, when one studies the list of his students, how one man could produce this. Not only taking into consideration his students, his generations, which go into the tens of thousands, but his disciples were not only Talmidei Chachomim, but they became from the greatest Rabbonim and the greatest Rosh Yeshivas, and even Gedalei Hador, the greatest generations in the generation. Let me name a few. There was his son-in-law, Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch, who was to be his successor in the Telz Yeshiva. There was his other son-in-law, Rabbi Zalman Sorotskin, who was the Rav of Slutsk, and later to become the head of all of the yeshivas, the Vara yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael. There was the great Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, the Rav of the yeshivas of Baranovich, who was a son-in-law of this Remeya Atlas, Zeche Tzadik Kodesh Levocha, who was killed by the Nazis, Hashem Yochem Domei. There was Rav Avraham Grzynski, who was Menalel of Yeshivas Lubotka. There was the great Rav Yitzchok Kosovsky, who came here to South Africa to become the Av Beis Din of Transvaal, a brother-in-law to Rav Chaim Eiser. There was Rav Moshe Shatskis, who was the Rav of Lomsh, that our very esteemed Rabbi Loib, when he was in Lomsh, became very close to Rav Moshe Shatskis. There was Rav Moshe Rosenstein, who was to become the Mashgiach of the Lomsh Yeshiva. He's a great granduncle of Hugh Rachlin, who's here this evening. There was Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who was to become the Rav of Yerushalayim. There was Rav Avram Perlman, who was to become the Rav of Skudvil. There was Rav Cheskel Sano, who was to become the great Rosh Yeshiva of Hebron in Eretz Yisrael. There was Reb Leizer Yudof Finkel, who was to become the Rosh Yeshiva of the great Mir Yeshiva. There was Reb Yosef Kahneman, the Ponovitch Rov, who had so many ties here with South Africa, who was the Rov of Ponovitch, and to become the establisher of the Ponovitch Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, which actually was the cornerstone of the rebuilding of Torah in Eretz Yisrael after the Second World War. There was the great Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, in his older years, was held as the Godel Hador, the greatest of the generation. Great Rav in Litter, later the Beis Din of London, and from the greatest Rabbonim that we had. I had the great schus in 1972 to see Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky, just for a few minutes. I went specially to Davin in the Beis HaMedrash HaGro in Beit Vegan, because this is where he davened. It was Rosh Hashanah. He came in just for a few minutes. He was very old. I told him that I was a Talmud of Telz, and a warm smile came to his face. At that time, I didn't know that he was from Telz. There was Ramesha Amiel, who was to become the Rav of Tel Aviv, and also the father-in-law of the chief rabbi of South Africa, Reb Luya Rabinowitz. There was Reb Shleiber Rosenzweig, who came to South Africa and was a member of the Beis Din here in Johannesburg. These are some of the Talmidim that he produced. It reads like a who's who. Each one responsible for building Torah in all areas of the world. Many of his descendants came here to South Africa. He had a son, Motel Gordon, who came here to South Africa. Motel Gordon had a daughter who was a doctor, Mary Gordon, who was very well known as a doctor here, and other daughters also. I don't know the family history too well, but I know they married into the Metz family and into the Mandelzweig family. All of this gives us an insight into what I mentioned was an enormous giant in a generation of enormous giants. It gives also to us, the people of South Africa, an enormous yichus that they come from such stock. But yichus brings responsibility. It gives them a great responsibility that they must live up to the roots that they come from. The Chazal refer to l'achzir ha-Torah li'yeshna. We should seek the crown return to where it was. And I'm sure many of the things that I said here this evening you've heard. If not about this one, about this giant, you've heard about another giant. If not about this shtetl, another shtetl. From your grandfathers, your great-grandfathers, your fathers that lived in this enormously illustrious era. May we learn from this to give us direction and inspiration. Perhaps we can again come to a little of the heights that they achieved. To the honorees this evening, as we mentioned, the theme is service to Torah and to Klal Yisrael. I join with those that spoke before, with Norman, with Rabbi Hendler, with Simon, and to give them our heartiest Mazel Tov. To Simon and Hillary, to Martin, to Michael, to Elliot, to Nathan and Marilyn, and to Raymond and Cheryl. Mazel Tov, and a great thanks of appreciation for all of the wonderful work you have done, and I know that you will continue to do, in the building of Torah. May we all be zeicher to see the Torah continue to grow, but to grow in a straight direction, in a great direction, that our predecessors knew and planted. May the tree continue to grow here, Eretz Yisrael, in America, all over the world. And with the ushering in of Elul, tomorrow morning we blow shofar May HaKadosh Baruch Hu grant to all of Israel in this time of great need bracha, matzlocha, aksiva v'chasima tova. May we see the greatness of His Torah again and the simcha of His Torah. And may there be shalom al Yisrael. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.